we officially kick this off. If you've got a drink in hand, let's all raise it high. And we'll dedicate this one to another episode, to another Next Spin meetup, and then also to our boy Adrian for his debut, man. Yes. Cheers all around.
Well, first of all, we got to call him
AMC.
There we go. AMC. Either L.A.,
Adrian L.A. Michael, is good.
We're going to call him L.A. L.A.
L.A. Michael, you know.
I like LA.
Well, me and Freddie came up with a pretty unique distinction for our Adrians, where we've got Adrian, and then AMC, we gave you the title of Wise Adrian, because it feels like you've been coming to these Next Spin meetups for a hot minute, and you are always in the background. You're always in the background like, well, did you know that, you know, in 1980, they did this and that?
When I was a young whippersnapper.
Back in Jacksonville's first original history, huh?
I'll get us started right here. Yo, spin heads. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin podcast. This is episode 14. And to any new listener joining us for the first time, welcome to the club. Thank you, Yaya. My name is Bader, and I'll be one of your hosts this episode. Let me start by knocking the dust off the wax with some house cleaning items. For starters, if you haven't listened to our previous episode, which was centered on Grammy-winning artists and albums, give that a listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You might as well just cue that episode up right after this one if you haven't heard it. The champagne was flowing. And we had a great time talking about the awards' influence on our personal music taste, favorite Grammy performances, notable snubs, and a whole lot more. If you have a thought or opinion you'd like to share with us about that topic or the one we're talking about today, shoot us an email. Freddie, what was the email again? It was like nextspin@gmail.com.
I'm like, you asking me?
I will share that information at the end of the episode, I guess. All right, and lastly, please make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram. It's at Nextspin. That's with two X's.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Oh. Yeah. Special effects. Yeah,
y'all got better.
Our in-studio audience can't hear it, but I've got our XXXX loaded up on here.
Legit.
We sound like a bunch of snakes.
Whoa. I don't know. I don't like the association.
All right, but you can, when you follow us on Instagram, you can see pictures and videos from this meetup and content related to our personal collections. Do yourselves a favor and get that visual effect as well as this audio experience. With all of that said, I want to go ahead and introduce my fantastic crew here with me. I'm joined by the full Next Spin crew today, plus one. For starters, I've got everyone's favorite morning radio host and the first lady of Next Spin herself, Janita Cordona, is here with us.
Hola. Ooh, gracias, up, cállate, gracias. No applause. Thank you.
Good stuff. Sharing a mic with Yaya is Mr. Quiet Storm, and hands down the best cook on the squad is Freddie Douglas. What up, Freddie?
I agree.
Yeah.
How you doing, Freddie?
Right there.
And back with us today on mic number three, on summer break from being a college boy out here trying to get higher education, old Mrs. Smarty Pants. But he can finally come outside and play with us.
Yes.
Is the Don himself, Don Stefan, a.k.a. Mr. Adrian Ross. What up, Adrian?
Hello.
We missed your last episode, man.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to be back. I missed the Grammy talk, but I'm ready to get into it.
That's what I'm talking about. And last but not least is a special guest, who is more like an honorary Next Spin member from day... I mean, he's been with us since day one. Let's be real with it, all right? You have definitely heard him in the background in a few episodes, and you've definitely seen him in the pictures looking oh so fly, because that's just the way he is,
fly
right?
Guy.
We've been trying to figure out his nickname. I mean, we've given him AMC. Oh. We've given him Hollywood.
L.A.
Thank you so much. I mean, for good reasons. Spinheads, making his debut Next Spin appearance is our great friend, Adrian Michael Cole. Big shout out.
Hello.
What up, Adrian?
What's up, everybody?
Welcome to this side.
Thank you.
This side of the meetups.
Good to be here, guys.
Good to have you with us, man. All right, and I want to go ahead and introduce this month's meetup. If you didn't read the episode title, we'll be talking about 45. And I think they get overlooked by most collectors because they're kind of seen like as the little brother to, you know, like full length, like 12-inch albums. 45s, you know, you've definitely seen these guys around. Like they're usually in boxes at the bottom of the shelves. They're usually stacked together without any record sleeves. And I understand they could definitely be a hassle as far as digging through them. But to me, there's like a lot of character to the 45s. You know, like I said, they're often overlooked by casual collectors. So in my opinion, that leaves a lot of range. You know, you can end up finding a lot of pretty unique singles and records that you normally wouldn't find, you know, because not a lot of people are looking for them. And I think the records that we play today are kind of a testament to that. There was a lot of songs, especially like Tony's selections, the Bossa Nova stuff, that I probably wouldn't have heard, because finding the full-length albums are kind of hard to find. I was talking to Freddie earlier about how easy they are to collect. You know, they take up less space. So if, you know, you're someone like me that don't got a lot of space to work with, 45s are portable, easy to collect. You can store them really easy. And overall, I think they're just a unique thing to have among your collection that really diversify like a record collection. I'm gonna go to our boy Hollywood AMC over here, because Adrian, when I brought up the topic of 45, everyone let out a groan, like, "Damn it, Botter, another." Oh, come on, man. But you were really hype about being the guest for this episode, and your enthusiasm is why I asked you to be our guest today. What's your relationship with 45s? It sounds like you've got a handful. Well, you brought a handful of 45s this episode.
My relationship actually goes back to, believe it or not, being a little kid. Not too many people may know, but some possibly will know. Like, you had this little record player that you could hold around as a kid. It was orange and it had a little top to it. And some of like the Sesame Streets or, you know, Disney stuff were on these little 45s for kids, you know? So if you was a kid, this was what you were listening to records on, and this was your introduction to records, you know, as a kid. And so, you know, your parents are not going to give you a big old record to play around, throw frisbee with, you know. You got these little 45s, and they're playing all your favorite childhood hits or what you're watching on the TV at the time. And so my grandma collected a whole bunch. My mom had some, and even my girlfriend, her grandma had some. And so I was able to dabble into some of those collections and listen to some really nice singles and to bring with you guys and share today.
45s actually, depending on what you have, are worth buku money. Like, I've seen some
really
for thousands and thousands of dollars. Wow. So if your grandma got some in a box somewhere, don't throw them out. Don't give them to Goodwill. Do some research. Still. Let me see.
Know what I'm doing this week.
Give them to me.
You can email us at the email that we don't got right now and ask for Freddie to share those. But, you know, it's funny you bring that, because what I was going to say is that they're also cost effective. You know, like, I think the opposite spectrum of that is you have records that are very expensive to buy, you know, in a 7-inch format, but you can always find the singles for relatively cheap. And sometimes all you want is a single. You know, like, let's be real. How many times have we went and bought a vinyl or an album because there's that one or two songs you're like, this is really all I want to hear?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the singles sometimes are good substitutes for that, because you just want to hear a single or two.
And some of these 45s are special edition songs that you can only find on a 45. Like, and I know you have a story about one of your 45s. And I love that. I personally, I'm not a huge 45 collector. Because I do like a full length album when I listen to my records. I'm one of those that I most of the time when I'm listening to my records is when I'm cleaning or on a Sunday, and I don't have time to go back every time to change every one or two songs. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just don't have the time. So, but I will buy a 45 if it's like a one of a kind, like, this is the only way you could get it, if it's a special edition. I feel like that. And I hope that maybe this could be a new way for the music industry to even, you know, make 45 records cool again by making those special editions. Oh, you can only get in on this 45 record, or, you know, get this artwork only on this 45 record.
Kind of like lean in on the collectability.
So. Yes, I think so. To make them special again, I think that's what we would have to do, in my opinion.
Well said. I'm going to go to, this might be confusing for listeners, so I'm going to go to Adrian. Don Stefan. You know what? I'm just going to go by Don. I think you're going to go by Don this episode.
Okay.
Is that right?
That's fine. I'm good with that.
You being the more newer record collector among the group, this was your first experience actually like actively going to go buy 45s and whatnot. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So that's you know, what you guys are getting at about like the new way to kind of commoditize music. That's, you know, getting into vinyl collecting. That I feel like that is like taking just regular music consumption to the next level. You know what I mean? And then getting into 45s to the next level above that. So it was cool to be pushed kind of sort of to get into this direction, to be honest with you. Searching for it, really, like, you can find them anywhere. But I like the, shout out to Tiger again. I went there and he had like an excellent selection. A huge selection, I'll just say that, of 45 that he'd just gotten. And looking through, it was really cool to see, like you were saying, it was a lot of random stuff. It wasn't really like big names or stuff like that. It was just a whole bunch. And then doing like the research, the homework on 45s, and it makes sense. Like most people were using that form, that size and RPM to put out their content, aside from a whole, you know, LP. So, mm-hmm. So that was dope. It was dope to get into it.
Well said. Freddie, I'm going to go to you because, like we've always kind of shared, you've probably got the more comprehensive and extensive collection out of all of us. Like, are 45s a conscious purchase for you when you go record shopping? Like, do you seek them out when you're shopping?
I don't think I've ever looked at a 45 section in my life. No. for me, listening to music is I sit down, I make my tea, I make a hookah. I'm going to be doing this for a while, and getting up every 5 minutes to flip a record seems a bit inconvenient, but I don't knock anybody for doing it, you know.
I think the shopping experience could be a lot better for 45s, because like Adrian had kind of shared, and no slight to any of the shops neither. It's just that I feel like they come second for most stores. You know, a lot of times they're not organized. They're kind of just like put in boxes. They're never really clean either. Like, you end up finding like very scratched records.
There's a record store here in Jacksonville that I want to go to, and I'm sure they have like historic one of a kind records that you could find there, and I'm sure they have special 45s.
Hell yeah.
But unfortunately, because it's so unorganized and then it's small and it's hot. Like, you know, I don't want to.
It's really cramped. I mean, I went there as a kid and I didn't even know what it was at first. But like you said, you walk in, it's super narrow. But it's like if you walk into like a hoarder's house. But it's real cool though. It gives you like a different type of nostalgia effect. And if you're looking for something, they might have it, because that's where I got my first Set It Off tape from.
Aww.
You know, Start Whooping and that's where I got it from.
But I bet 45s are easy for DJs, because you know when they're looking for that one single to play. And I do remember. Shout out to Peyton Locke, because the first time I ever saw him was with Tony. We were happened to be in Riverside and he was DJing with records and it was 45s. That night specifically, it was a 45 night.
That series of nights was called Little Plate Nights.
Yeah.
Because all the DJs would only play with 45.
It was only 45 and he was playing nothing but like Fania and Sci-Fi. And I was like, oh my God. And that was the first time I saw him. And I fell in love, and we stayed that night and danced our life away. And I think for DJs, it's probably like it's good to have 45s, because they know they could just easily get the single.
Yeah, rest in peace to him, because he was one of the best at mixing, and he definitely made you dance and made you think about the type of music that you were doing. To go back onto what y'all saying about changing the record every time, it does get very like strenuous to go back and get up, because by the time you walk across the room, it's like, oh crap. The record's finished. It's done. So you got to either go back, flip it on another side, and it's like a workout in itself, to tell you the truth, you know?
The people used to have to do that. Like, if they wanted to just play music all night long, like, somebody was just at the record player, you know
100%.
What I mean?
Yeah. They would sit there. I would remember that. And we're not trying to age ourselves, but, I mean, we were kids.
I'm like, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Be quiet. We were kids.
Grown and sexy over
some
here.
Some of us. We're kids, at least I don't look my age. Some of us were kids when legit they would have to sit down and there would be somebody that was the DJ of the party. And they would be. And I remember my parents would bring their records and all the records had their name on it because they would make sure.
Yeah, no, I'm taking my shit back.
Yeah. And you know, until this day, I have my parents' records and it says Cardona on it.
That's dope.
And this my mom's handwriting always. Oh. And everybody would bring their records, and that's with the music that we play that night. Yeah. And it would be somebody that would be responsible to play the record and be the DJ the whole night. Yeah. And
so that's like a way of people, like, so that's what I'm saying, the 45s for like the older or the more senior legacy generations, like they're used to playing the music at the actual turntable. So it's like, it's a different culture, you know what I mean?
True. And think about jukeboxes too.
Right.
You know, every jukebox, you see those little things that go, because they're only playing one song, and then next thing you know, it goes back out of rotation, you know?
Yep. And people use
and they're 45s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're all 45s in that little jukebox, you know?
The more notable times that I ever like really enjoyed my 45s is when like I'm dedicated to like I've got time to spare to just sit in front of my turntable and swap it out. Like I know I want to just hear a bunch of different music and I just want to kind of like go through the vinyls I've bought. And 45s to me are kind of give you that experience of like the closest to making a mix in an analog format where it's like, all right, I'm gonna play this single, or I'm kind of going down this journey. Oh, this made me think of this song and I happen to have this. It does make for a fun experience because you can play through so many within an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think I've counted, I got about like 40. So that's 40, 45. So that's like a good 2 hour quote unquote mix.
Yeah. I feel like it's helpful in my record collecting like mantra, like my whole thing. What I'm trying to do is get better at collecting. So if let's say there's an album, like there's some obscure like Japanese jazz or something that I want. Like maybe I don't want the whole album, but maybe I want like the specific record, you know, one or two records or whatever. So the 45 comp, you know, format would help me and get more like unique with my record collection. So yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely going to collect more 45s.
Once again, I think that goes back to a primary reason I wanted to bring up this topic is that, you know, we talk a lot about music genres and the themes that we pick. But I wanted to highlight the collection part, right? Like that was something that really brought us all together was that a lot of us were either starting our record collecting journey or in the middle of it, or just kind of, in my case, like coming back to it. So I wanted to highlight like a different aspect of record collecting. You know, you can, there's different venue, like different avenues you can go to. It doesn't always just have to be the primary, you know, 7-inch LP. Like there is the 45s. And then I ended up learning about like the 10-inch records and this and that. So there is like different ways to keep it fresh, I guess is what I'm saying. It's like the 45 offers something like a different experience to collecting records, you know, like more to look for and whatnot. Before we go, before we talk about the general music topic, I wanted to bring up to this group, what 145 did you bring that exemplified today's theme? Adrian, let's go with you, Don.
Yes, sir. Bill Withers, no introduction or any extra commentary necessary. It's Bill Withers. His 45, Lean On Me, and Better Off Dead. Better Off Dead is just a really boppy, like, you know, tune with it ends. It has a very dramatic ending. And then Lean On Me, it's Lean On Me, man. Come on.
Exactly. My 45 was a little group called Instafunk. You know, they're from the 70s. They're in the disco era. But they was in that transition from disco to like 80s music. So you get a little disco music to funk. And the name of the song is called Worldwide of Sports. And so it's just got some really funky tunes. And then towards the end, it does this crazy bass drop. So if you have system or you have some nice headphones on, you're going to hear some nice beats on that track.
All right. Yaya, what about you? What was your 45?
My 45 out of the three that I chose, I'm going to go with Prince. Kiss. Only because of the history behind that song, once I did the research of it, so you guys can know a little bit about the history behind Kiss. Kiss was working on his own album when his band members group that he was signing would asked if he could write a song for them, and Prince wrote that song Kiss, but then that group Maserati ended up changing it to like a funky groove that you guys hear in the song now. And so Prince fell in love with it, decided to keep the song for himself. He was like, I'm going to give you guys another song, gave him another shitty song. Obviously, Kiss has become the song that it is. He convinced his band member to get the song back and that he was going to give him a better song and give him credit as a songwriter. Didn't give him a credit. His band member didn't get any credit, hasn't received a dime from this day. And Prince Kiss song is a legendary song that we'll hear for another 500 years.
Of course.
Damn right. Classic.
And your 45 actually had like the sleeve on it, which has got like a really good photo of Prince on it.
The level
Prince,
of petty.
And it had a photo of his bass player in the back, who I didn't know. I was like, why did he highlight this lady? And I thought maybe he was just sticking it to her because, you know, he's a freak like that. But find out that is his guitar player who you said that also did, you tell that story because I don't know. You said that she did.
She wrote the guitar solo for Purple Rain.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Freddie with the facts.
Freddie, you skipped out this week, so, and
yes, I followed the rules.
And I don't think Tony will hop on the mic, so I'll just share mine. So the 145 that I'll highlight that exemplifies this month's theme is a Willie Evans Jr. After the Love 45. Side A is Willie Evans Jr. And then side B is a full plate release called Claws Up by their founder, Dylan. And just some backstory on this one. I mean, this is a case of like, you know, a rather, I guess, quote unquote, rare 45 in the sense of they only pressed 20 of these back in 2015, 2016. And, you know, I was really getting into Willie Evans. You know, I was going to like his shows and, you know, I wanted to support. So I bought one of these 45s and I think it was one of the first 45s I've ever bought. So like very early on in my record buying collection. But I realized that there isn't a lot of information on the sleeve, on the record itself. I reached out to both of them like, hey, do you guys got any information on this? Because there isn't like a Bandcamp page for it. There's not a Discogs for it or anything, which I thought was kind of weird. I'll share what Willie Evans shared about it. And he wrote, Dylan would have more information about the release date. Basically, we collaborated on a release and this is what came of it. Interesting side note, there's a version of a song on this 45 that I did specifically for the record. And that it ended up being on the Crush EP, so another EP that he did, but in another form, and I lost the session that song was on. So the version on the 45 is the only recording of it, and the name of that song is Swift Episode Zero. So there's a album version, and then there's this 45 version that I guess is the only version that exists out there. And then when I reached out to Dylan, he also had a pretty interesting little tidbit to share as well. This is more or less a bootleg that Willie hit me up about doing. There's a dude in Florida who presses limited lacquers, and we did a run of 20 of these. This was just after Willie's project, The Love Circle, via High Water Music. Full Plate, which is the record label that Dylan runs, also home of the late, great Peyton Locke, Willie Evans, and a whole lot of great artists. Full Plate was just getting its legs, and I put out an unreleased, at the time, instrumental that I thought would be for another LP, but never used it. So this is another case of like, you know, two songs on here that were never, you know, used anywhere else. So big shout out to Willie Evans. Big shout out to Dylan. Big shout out to the whole Full Plate fam.
That's cool that you have access to that. Like, that's such a, right. That's a dope piece right there.
But 45 talk aside, this next topic is kind of the antithesis of the 45 and the whole singles culture. The Kendrick Lamar album, Mr. Morale and the Big Stepper, it came out 3 days ago at the time of this podcasting, or at the time of this podcast. And depending on what online circles or friend groups you're in, you've probably heard a lot of talk about it. Is that a safe assumption? Has everyone's, whatever, feed pretty much been occupied by it?
Everything,
Yes.
K-Dot.
Which is not surprising, right? A new full-length Kendrick Lamar album has been eagerly anticipated by fans for a while. He's a prolific, well-respected artist, known for putting focused time and effort into his bodies of work. So it was no surprise that, like, you know, this album was going to generate a lot of buzz, a lot of discussion, especially on, like, the day of release. But I noticed, and I even personally had a few conversations with friends about, like, some of the reception towards the album being rather polarizing, where it was either being highly acclaimed very quickly within, like, you know, by 12 o'clock, you know, Friday. And it was like, oh, the album just came out like this morning.
It's literally right. 12 hours old.
And then the other aspect where it was like kind of received kind of lukewarm, and people were already questioning, like, well, was it really worth the wait, you know, with what we got? Granted, you know, that's all anecdotal, and it's based on my very small sample size of friends and online communities that I follow. But it's pretty run of the mill, right? Like, in this day and age with the internet and social media, when it comes to huge artists like Kendrick, like, they're going to spark a debate. They're going to spark a topic and whatnot. So it's like to be expected. But what I wanted to hear was from this group in regards to the way that you guys consume new music, specifically full albums. I want to hear, like, when we're talking like full bodies of work, how do you guys go about consuming it? And is there a way to quantify, like, you should wait this amount of time before rating it or calling it a classic? Like, I'm curious your thoughts. I know there's no right or wrong answer, but I thought I'd bring it to this group. Yaya snatched the mic.
Sorry, we're sharing the mic.
Yaya snatched the mic.
I didn't see you getting ready, Freddie. That's why. you got to be like Uno. You got to be quick. Number one, for me to listen to an album to make sure I'd be like, all right, this is good, I got to listen to it at least 3 times minimum.
Yeah.
And now, real quick, is that a hard rule?
That's a hard rule for me.
Okay, yep. Got it.
I got to listen to it 3 times minimum, because then I could be like, all right, this is a good song, this is a bad song, or I could listen to this song, or this song is a noise and as hell. And then for it to label it like a good album, I would say you have to have at least more than 5 songs that are like, damn, I need to add it on my playlist right now. You know, Like, that to me is a good album. 3 to 5 songs that I could put on my playlist, I'm like, all right, that's a good album. But if it's 5 or more, then damn, you got a legendary album right there. Yeah.
True.
For me, I think, you know, with the classic, like, designation, like, that's, you know, I look back. I have to look back and say, yeah, that's now a classic. I can't call an album that just dropped a classic. Like, it's not, I just can't do that. So for me, I consume the, you know, my music. I'll take it in. Like, I do the same thing, Janita. If I can, like, download or, you know, add a couple to my playlist, then yeah, that's that for me. That's how I know, okay, I'm going to tout this one. Like, I'm going to tell people about this album. But if not, then I'm not really going to mention it.
But does that make for a good album or just good songs?
That's a good question.
That's why,
Freddie, you need it.
That's why I say if it's more than 5 good songs, then damn, that's a good album. That's a good album in my opinion. If you have like 3 songs, then you got 3 good songs. That's it. It's not a good album in my opinion. If you have more than 5 songs on the album, I'm like, damn, that's a good album.
Okay. Real quick, I want to stick with Yaya. On that same note, then. You got an album that's got 5 solid songs. Let's say the album's, whatever, 10, 12 tracks. Are you going back to that album or are you just going back to the songs that you picked?
More than likely the album.
Okay.
More than likely the album. Because that means the rest of the songs on the album are okay.
Okay.
A lot of the times the rest of the songs on the album are okay.
Do you ever experience where some of those songs you didn't like at first, second, third, whatever, 4th, 5th listen eventually grow on you?
Yeah. Adele's last album. I love Adele, but Adele's last album had a grow on me. Legit. There was only like 2 songs off the bat that I loved when I first listened to. And then I had to keep listening to the album to then appreciate like 2 other songs. And be like, all right, I get it. I get the message. I get everything. So yeah.
Have you ever been like in a situation where like you're listening to music and like you're saying the album is like it's a couple of songs that you wrote off on the album, but then you go back and listen to it in the mix with something else.
And it sounds better.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're like, dang, where is this track
at?
Where
was I missing?
Yeah. And then you hear it again and it sounds totally different to you.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the way I listen to certain things, you know, not to cut you off.
No, you're good, bro.
But I listen to it in like, it's the way I consume it. First of all, it's going to be 1 in a car and 2 in the headphones.
That's very important.
Because then I can hear like everything around it. And exactly. Then like to Yaya's point, when she's saying like 5 songs, okay, 5 songs in a row to me is good because I like an album to where I can like play it without skipping. If I can play it without skipping and I can go back and I want to be able to play it backwards too, you know, with those same tracks, but play it backwards because it gives you different like viewpoint of what the artist is doing. Because these artists take time in putting songs in a certain place, you know, and sometimes I might even shuffle it. I'll shuffle it just to hear something totally different, you know, and hear a different side if an interlude isn't included. Because sometimes they like to include an interlude that goes into the next song, you know.
Yeah.
Going with what Adrian just said, LA just said, the albums and record labels and artists purposely put the songs in order.
Sequencing.
They put it on order to the point where Adele made sure that in none of those platforms, streaming platforms, you could skip these songs. You had to play the album in order. Adele made that.
Well, I didn't in know order. That.
Yeah, the last album, she put a string that you cannot skip Adele's album song. You have to listen to, like, if you specifically put a song to play, yeah, I'll play it. But if you're playing the song, the album, you have to play it from beginning to end. She won't let you skip it because she did the song order on purpose.
Well said.
That's good for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freddie, I'm going to go to you because you were on the more positive spectrum when it came to this Kendrick Lamar album where you were sharing very high praise very early on. If it was coming from you, you've probably played it. You had probably played it a few times and you probably listened to it really, you know, intensively. So I was curious to hear, what are your thoughts on the Kendrick Lamar album? But also, how do you go about approaching new music, specifically like new albums?
To listen to a full length album from an artist, I already have to have some type of relationship with the artist as far as like me thinking their work's worthy enough of my time.
True.
So in this instant, Kendrick was. I like to start off with an album just kind of in the background. I just put it on repeat and I just kind of let it roll. I was listening to it at work, which, as if you've listened to the album, you know that it's some questionable moments on the album. So at work, everybody was looking at me crazy. I'm just like, this is what I'm listening to. Y'all just got to deal with it. But it was just playing on repeat at work. And then when I got home, I put in my headphones. I went for a bike ride so I can fully digest the album. And then when I got home, I listened to it again in my headphones, just chilling in the chair. And at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a great album, despite some of its flaws.
Yeah.
So some of the factors that an album needs to meet, it sounds like replayability, which I think we can all agree on is pretty important, right? Like a classic, right, a really great album, you should be able to play a lot.
I wouldn't even say that, because there's some albums I consider masterpieces that I don't go to very often, but I still consider it an amazing album. I always feel like if an album doesn't involve some type of conversation, like everybody's talking about this right now, the fact that people don't think it's a great album tells me that it's an album that's worthy of being talked about. Said, if everyone's just like, meh, then you're not going to go back to that album. Or if everybody thinks it's great, like, what was that one dude?
Jack Harlow.
Yeah, everybody was kind of raving about that. And everybody was thought it was good. I listened to a few tracks and I was like, eh.
But going back to your point, I still haven't listened to it because, like you said, given something your time, when Kendrick came out, it's like, oh,
I'm gonna
need time.
Yeah.
I need time to like digest this, right? Because
Well, I mean, his track record is, you know, he's established a track record where, if he's dropped something, I'm going to dedicate time. An artist like him is a moment where it's like, oh, I'm going to listen because I want to chime in on the conversation. The fact that it is polarizing, it tells you that people feel a certain way. Like this album has evoked a decision or a feeling out of someone where it's like, nah, I don't, because I haven't seen any lukewarm responses. It's been like either you love it or you're kind of like, eh, well, I guess that would be lukewarm.
Emotional wave.
Yeah. Right.
It caused a wave regardless of how you feel. Now, the other thing that I really like is, I mean, Kendrick always comes with dope visuals. Always.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then if you look at the video, like N95, he just put a video out for that. And it's like, it just cements his spot, man. Right. Kendrick, that's
he's a Gemini, baby. say we the best.
Yeah.
Or the prequel to the album, The Heart Part 5.
Yeah.
That had everybody talking, you know?
Yeah.
The visuals itself
right.
had people talking more
and
so than listen to
video
it.
Video too, right?
Very simple. Michael Jackson, Black or White, you know?
Yeah.
So not to throw a harp in all this, but at what point does an album, like taking R. Kelly, for instance, that...
we're going right
we're
there.
We're at a point where it's almost... it's
sacrilege?
You shouldn't be listening to R. Kelly because of the things that he's done or the things he's possibly been talking about in these songs. At what point, like a Kendrick Lamar album where he's had some... questionable topics in his songs that shouldn't have been said, is it still okay to listen to these albums?
Right. You know, he brings up that point too, the R. Kelly thing.
Yeah.
That one where he goes, you still listen to R. Kelly, I bet you.
Yeah.
You know, in that one song.
I think because music is subjective, I think you got to make that decision yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the subjectivity too, like you're saying, like, all right, so there's this objective, terrible thing that this person did, but the music, a lot of people don't equate the music to the artist. They just like listening to music. That's like that's why a lot of people don't collect music. You know what I mean? Like, that's why this is a burgeoning field. Like, slowly but surely more people are collecting music, but you know, the thing is, like, people aren't that invested in the artist, to be honest with you. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, people just like to hear what they hear, and that's it.
Well, I guess I don't necessarily mean to compare Kendrick's to R. Kelly.
No, definitely not. Kendrick,
two different extremes.
Yeah. Very different extreme. Yeah.
But at what point, what's like a cutoff for you in terms of what we hold these artists accountable of?
It could be personal beliefs, like you're saying, and certain things affect certain people differently, you know? When someone says certain things, if it was sacrilege to yourself, you know, you're like, oh, wow, did they just go there?
Because that goes back to Bada's point of it being an individual decision.
Because
Lupe Fiasco said one time, he's like, in one lyric, he's like, I couldn't listen to Jay-Z because of certain words he said. Until he dated someone that was like that word, and he's like, now I agree with what Jay-Z was saying. But before, he's like, I can't listen to him because he's saying this word over and over again. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Until, he started agreeing. He's like, well, I'm listening to Jay-Z now.
It's completely subjective. That's the thing. So, you know, I feel it. I mean, I, you know, I don't know if I'm going to play R. Kelly at the function, but yeah, you know, yeah. If I hear the music out, then, oh shit, that's crazy. That was really good a moment, but
yeah, I no longer can sing I Believe I Can Fly. Unfortunately,
it's right. A lot of songs.
In fact, I was somewhere the other day and they played an R. Kelly song and I looked at them so bad and they're like, oh, sorry. I was like, yeah, no, that's not cool. Yeah. Me, I can't, like, for example, R. Kelly, I can't, after knowing the history and all that.
Yeah, true.
And I grew up with R. Kelly. Like I said, I love the song, I Believe I Can Fly.
There are some things that are so egregious that you're like,
100%.
It's just, it's so egregious. It's it's in the very forefront when you listen to this
you artist. Have to throw it away.
I think at my age, I'm not looking at a lot of these artists for a moral compass. You know, like maybe as a younger listener, yeah, I probably was vastly shaped by the music I was listening to. I don't know. I think there's just a lot more separation, you know, like
I know what you're saying, bro. It's like you pay attention to the character of the person, but for the most, like
it's not the most important thing. It's not the first 100%. And foremost. Is the music really good and does it connect?
I mean, I still listen to Chris Brown.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I am not gonna lie, I still like him.
He was canceled for a while.
But then Rihanna
came out with Deuces.
But then Rihanna
stuff.
Did a song with him and all that, and if Rihanna can forgive him, then I forgive him. Right. So.
And we were talking about this, like, you know, all the use of the word bitch, like, to me it definitely, I don't like it, but I love 90s hip hop.
Let's be real, there's a lot of music nowadays that I'm like, are you listening to what you're actually saying, to where you're, because a lot of these songs are derogatory towards women.
Yeah,
they really are. And we're out here like, and then we're women, we're singing it all loud and proud. And I'm like, girl, do you know what you're singing?
Right. And it's rooted into that. And like,
nah, it's indoctrination, bro. Like, so you gotta be careful. You gotta guard your brain.
I guess it comes to a point where, is this artist offending you or someone that you care about?
Exactly.
True.
And at that point, it's like in a lot of hip hop now. If all I hear is bitch, 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 blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I can't fuck with it.
I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know? Yeah. 100%.
And despite me loving Biggie. This Kendrick's album and Biggie,
yeah,
right.
He offended me and a lot of people that I care about. So,
or a certain word too in there, because he used one word and it's like, wow. Well, like they're going hard.
But he talks about it, though.
Yeah,
And I'm not defending nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Hey, my hands up. My hands up, too, bro. Yeah, it's an art. My hands up, too. Yeah, it's an art, too. It's
yeah,
art
yeah, turn off that line. Turn off that line. Yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah.
Cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to
you,
sir.
Yeah, it's an art. You know, it's an art form. And, you know, rather we choose to judge a person on their art form or what they're trying to express in this art, you know, if we had that opinion coming from them, to know what they actually was wanting to get their point across in this. I'm pretty sure he's going to come out with a video and it's going to describe all that. But like, we all agreed that in that one song, it was like, it felt toxic. You know, it's hard to listen to. But in the same sense, I think he was trying to get out a point that maybe this is in a lot of households of what people are hearing. You know what I'm saying? And then like, he wanted to bring that to the forefront, you know?
But and Kendrick's we don't a know deep that. Artist. Like he's an artist that his music has a message. His videos have a message behind it. Like everything, like he really thinks it through. So he's not saying these words just to fucking offend anyone. He's like saying it for a reason. You know, it's an art form, in my opinion.
I think we respect him as a person. There's a certain leeway that we give.
That subjectivity is important, though, man. Like, it's something to consider. But there's a certain amount of the character that you gotta weigh into.
We have another fan of ours saying, some words are used by artists to provoke a reaction as well, like Eminem's play on words or Tupac's choices of topics from motherhood to gangster shit. And that's true. Let's talk about Tupac for a second. Let's talk about how Tupac will be like, fuck these bitches, fuck this hoe, blah, 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 blah. And then the next song is like, Dear Mama, a rose from the...
And those are classics.
That's why I love Beyonce, because Beyonce knows to keep her private life private. And that's why when she does these albums and talks about her life on the albums. That's why they're so more impactful, because it gives us, it lets us see a glimmerance of her life. Unlike these other artists that are out here on social media putting out everything that they do all day, every day. But Beyonce is very private about her life. So when her album drops, it's like, oh my God. Or even Kendrick. Like Kendrick is another artist that's private.
True.
So when we know his album's going to drop, we know he was going to talk about what's going on in the news, what's been going on these last couple of years, what's been going on with him personally in these last couple of years. And so, yeah, it's supposed to cause a reaction.
I'm going to say this and we won't harp on it anymore.
Okay.
I consider Kendrick intelligent enough and talented enough not to be able to say the things he said in his album. He's way more creative and he could have said it in a way more positive outlet than what he did. And we can leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, no.
But well, the album's done.
I was going to say, well, Freddie, tell us, is the album a classic?
I won't know if the album's a classic for months.
Right. Exactly. But I can't give it a connotation of classic just yet.
I guess I just like growing with an album. Like as I progress in life, you know, whether it be like get smarter or get new opportunities. Like I like as an album kind of like unfold, like literally kind of unfolds like an onion, like kind of seeing the different layers, because I've got to live a life and have certain experiences. And that album, you know, is so good and, you know, it sounds good. And that's why I keep listening to it. But I also get to grow with it and I get to appreciate like different points of views, because at the end of the day, right, like these artists are also people going through their own experiences and sharing that with us and their preferred method. I try to get in that mindset of like, you know, I may not like this song, but maybe I haven't lived that experience that would make me attune to that song, you know? And I think at the very, and that's why like that surface level stuff matters, where, you know, for me, like the production's got to sound good, you know, the hook's got to be right, the sequencing's got to be good, because we get so much content and we're, you know, so inundated by so much music, you know, like you need it to meet certain criteria to, first of all, break through the mass so you can actually get it on your radar. And I think it becomes a classic when, you know, it's lived with you. Like it's, if you've gotten a chance to like grow with it, peel it back, like really kind of understand the nuance, and you're seeing past that surface level of what got it on your plate in the first place.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. I love when an album does that. And the other thing though is like, for me, like on the flip of that, right? So like digesting music that you've loved and stuff like this. I don't know. For me, I just have like I think it's probably the same for all of us. That's why we're so into music. They just have an itch to constantly look for new music and hunt for it everywhere. Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing, you know. I mean, I love it when people send suggestions. In this group, we send suggestions, music suggestions to each other all the time, and it's outside of a palette. So it's just like both sides of that are needed for like a healthy like music appreciation.
Facts.
I want to get to our last segment, which we introduced last episode, and it was a lot of fun. It turned out to be really fun to edit and put out, and we got some positive reception. And this is one that we're still working on the name, but until we get a better name, we're going to run with the one that I gave it. I want us to go ahead and wrap up this episode with the Rewind Spin, which Freddie hit me off with it.
Why didn't you do that?
No, because I want to hear Freddie say it.
That sucks.
Like I said, until we get a better name, that'll be the name of this segment here. But this is our segment where we highlight a new song that came out within the week or you know, last 2 weeks, that has been on nonstop repeat play for us. So a song that we just cannot stop repeat playing.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do Megan Thee Stallion, Plan B, because I'm in that motherfucking mood.
Okay,
watch out. Okay.
And when you play it, I need you. Yes, yes. Please.
Her box is hot.
My box is hot. No, definitely play that song and get in the mood, mother effers, because it's that kind of summer.
Who the fuck you think you talking to, nigga? Fuck me, nah, nigga. Fuck you, nigga. Damn, fuck, nigga. Still can't believe I used to fuck with you. Popping Plan Bs, because I ain't playing to be stuck with you. Damn, I see you still kicking with them op bitches. I'm the only
one. All right. Wow, I like that.
It's a Plan B song.
Talk that shit. Talk that shit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I see LA is currently looking up his, so I'm going to go to you. All right. I'm going to go to you, Adrian.
All right. Yeah, so for me, I like the Gendry song, Kiki. That's a, like a little Spanish joint. She's like, it sounds like reggaeton's joint. It's Kiki. I can't sing it. You don't want me to do that because I'm going to butcher it. But yeah, now it's a fire little joint. I keep going back to it and repeating it. She did a little video, I think, on, I want to say Colors. But it wasn't this song. It was another song. But Gendry is dope. Y-E-N-D-R-Y.
Yo la Ferrari, acelera color Campari, y la mía don't vary, que me to duro tu tap for me.
Freddie, what you got?
So for me, this song from Late Night Jiggy. His name is, I'm sure I'm butchering his name, but Usame. He's from, where is he from again, Tony?
Osame.
Mm-hmm. Tony's no help? Okay, so... It's a
if he ain't got look if my rules are if Tony ain't got the camera in hand and he's chilling. He ain't helping.
I wish I could see his
my man is ultimate relaxed. Come on, son.
He got the Birkins on.
Leave my guy, yo.
Anyway, it's like a little Afrobeat reggaeton joint. Definitely check it out. Usame.
Did it come out? When did it come out?
Oh, now he remember. But the song's called Usami. The name of the artist is called Late Night Jiggy. But interesting sound on him. So, yeah.
Late night. Oh. I just got a call from you randomly. You told me I was part of your fantasy. Que no tiene fantasía. Si yo estuviera ahí, dime que tu María.
It's like an Afrobeat type joint?
Afrobeat, but he's speaking Spanish.
Oh, so.
Okay. About the international today.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. Good stuff. All right, AMC, Hollywood, Adrian, whatever nickname you want to go by. What song you got for us?
I don't know. It just comes on and gets you like in the mood. I mean, it hasn't been the past week, but it just comes on. And to be honest, I never really liked the artist. I never really listened to him to like that extent. But
no,
now he's got some credit. He's got some credit now. And I'm like, I listened to the song. I got to turn it up, man. That Kodak Black Super Gremlin, man.
Ooh,
that thing comes black. On, man.
Say you my nigga, I'ma be your killer. Nobody gonna play with you when I'm with you. Go against any nigga like fuck this glitter.
You were supposed to mention Kodak.
It's nuts to hear Kodak on that.
Yeah, that Super Gremlin comes on and it's like, Yeah, you know, now you ain't a friend no more.
Exactly.
But no,
you guys.
That's a good sample.
Remember that. And then think about him on Kendrick Lamar's album, Insanity.
And to wrap us up, my song, which I was really surprised that our text group did not mention this, that Sir dropped a new song called Satisfaction. And Sir, to me, is one of the best male R&B vocalists out there. And anytime he drops something, I'm going to look for it.
Yeah, I was shocked no one was really talking about that joint.
Why didn't you bring it up, Freddie?
Maybe they were sleeping. Had it, they were sleeping on it.
Satisfaction.
And I have an honorable mention, you know, this song called
Pick Up Your Phone.
Yeah, Adrian, you can't have it.
I'm sorry. I'm new to this.
How much are you trying to give me, Adrian?
You've been here.
Never mind.
Nah, I'm playing. I was just saying,
it's called Play Nice. It's called Pick Up Your Phone. That's it.
Well, guys, I think that's the end of our episode, man. I want to go ahead and ask for a round of snaps for you guys. Yes. A round of snaps for our special guest, Adrian, a.k.a. Hollywood,
thank
a.k.a.
you guys. Been a
L.A.,
pleasure.
All that. A round of snaps for our in-studio audience for sitting through a very, very interesting conversation. I'll save that one. This is one of our more heavier ones. Who's in charge for next month? I think Tony's going to take his pick in next month's theme. I know he won't get on the mic, so I'll just say it for him. I believe we are doing samples next. Tony, do you want to introduce that? Tony agrees. Yes, we are going to be doing samples next month, so we'll be bringing records of our favorite sampled songs. And speaking of next episode, we would love to hear from our listeners. So Spinheads, we invite you to join in on the conversation we just had. You can write into our inbox at nextspin@gmail.com. As always, that is with two X's. But other than that, it's time for us to bid you all adieu now. On behalf of the Next Spin crew, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. And I want to thank my co-host today, Yaya, Freddie, both Adrians, and Tony in the background as well. All right, you can check out pics and videos from this meetup over on our Instagram at Next Spin. Once again, that's with two X's. Please help us grow this show by sharing the episode with a friend or your favorite music lover and vinyl aficionado. Leaving us a rating review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify would also be very, very, very appreciated. We appreciate you. Come back next month for the next spin. Until then, take care of yourselves. Don't forget to play your records, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.
Peace and love.